Nice to have Preston Wilson with us on Sports Byline USA. He played 10 years in the majors with the Mets, the Marlins, the Rockies, the Nationals, the Astros, and finally with the St. Louis Cardinals, where he picked up a World Series championship ring when the Cardinals won the World Series in 2006. Preston, I want to ask you about something you said when you retired. It was a very, at least in my mind, kind of a powerful comment about how tough baseball is. You said, my body just couldn't take it anymore. Explain to me a little bit more about that comment.
You know, I was kind of in a phase where I had a couple of injuries in back-to-back years, and it was just a situation where when you play as many games as you play in baseball, your body doesn't get a chance to recuperate. You know, so having that type of schedule and just the pounding that I was taking, I needed some time off. You know, my body needed time to heal itself.
And a lot of people don't understand or really kind of appreciate what the body goes through. Give us some insight what it's like during the course of from spring training to the end of the season.
It is quite a schedule. I mean, most people see the 162-game schedule, but they don't count the spring training games that we have, the scrimmages in spring training, the practices that are before every game. You know, baseball is a unique sport. It definitely it challenges a person's will more than anything because it's day after day. And sometimes if you're in the lineup every day, if you have a flaw or something's wrong in anything that you're doing, you have to fix it in game action.
And how tough is it mentally to deal with the rigors of baseball, particularly after you get beyond July?
Oh, it's definitely tough. And that's one of the things that separates major leaguers from other players is they find a way to maintain some type of consistency even when they're exhausted.
Did you have to do anything special to try to keep yourself fresh during the course of a season?
I mean, you sleep as much as you can. You know, you try to stay strong. You try to lift. You try to stay in shape. Being in shape cardiovascular-wise actually helps more than anything just because it kind of prevents a lot of injuries that you get when you're fatigued.
You started out with the New York Mets, then, as I said, the Marlins, the Rockies, the Nationals, the Astros, and the Cardinals. When one goes from organization to organization, how much of a difference is it? Is there a philosophy that exists with each organization that you have to adapt to?
Oh, yeah, there are definitely some idiosyncrasies that each organization stands by. And, you know, it's kind of part of their brand. And, you know, the Cardinals for a long time were, you know, a pitching and base running and smart play type of team. You know, you had Baltimore when they were like the power hitters and Texas Rangers were the, you know, just get up there and hit the three-run homer. So there's definitely different philosophies with each team you go to.
You know, as well as I do, there was a time in baseball where a player would come up through an organization in the minor leagues, and they kind of learned what they wanted the Dodgers to do, you know, what the Dodgers wanted them to do or what the Boston Red Sox wanted them to do. But with the movement of players today, does that exist anymore?
Not to the extent that it was before. I mean, just there's a lot that's changed in the game, and players do move around a whole lot more. In a way, it's made the game more exciting because now you got talent constantly going around the league, and, you know, there's always a good fit for someone someplace. So I think it's enhanced the game. I think, you know, some people may feel the nostalgia for the times where they have the guys that played 12 or 15 seasons with just one team. That's hardly going to happen anymore.
You stayed in the National League, and I'm wondering, we always hear about the two leagues being different, but you also did play interleague play. Did you notice much difference when you played in, say, an American League ballpark or against an American League team?
Well, I mean, the American League over the last, I'd say, 15, 20 years has gotten to the point where the whole lineup is dangerous. You know, there used to be, even though you had the DH, you still would have some light-hitting middle infielders or, you know, just someone that didn't quite carry their weight with the bat that some of the other guys did. And now you go through some of those lineups, and 1 through 9, everybody can hurt you in a lot of different ways.
It is much different difference because when you broke in 1998 with the Mets, that was kind of in the key area about the use of steroids and everything. And you were at the end of your career. It was a time when, you know, it had moved out of that. Tell me what that time was like as you observed baseball.
You know, I saw a lot of guys who had abilities that, you know, because of some of the things they were doing, they were able to play more productive longer. And I saw a lot of guys throwing harder than they had been. I remember watching my dad play, and you would have the one guy who threw maybe 96, you know, he didn't really have that great of control. You might have had a starter that threw mid-90s or maybe two of those, and everybody else was 90 or below. I just remember facing some teams and the whole bullpen would throw 93 or higher, even the lefties, and that's just something that didn't happen. And now you're starting to see those velocities come back down. You're starting to see some of the numbers offensively come back down. So I think baseball will kind of it'll plateau out to where it was before.
Also, was there a lot of peer pressure? Because I mean, the players, everybody inside of baseball, meaning the players in the clubhouse and everything, they know what the heck is going on. They can see things. They know what is cause and effect and everything. And I had a friend of mine that was a teammate of yours on the Rockies at that time, and we were in the swimming pool down at spring training. I'll never forget this. And I said to him, "What the hell is going on?" And he said, "Well," he said, "the club came to me and said, you know, between now, which is at the end of the season and the start of spring training, we want you to put on 30 pounds. And he said, "Ron, there was only one way that could happen." Now, he wasn't saying that he got into anything, but that was the type of mentality that existed in baseball at that time, Preston.
I think it was definitely prevalent. And I think some organizations or some teams, it was more embedded in. I guess I was looking back over my minor league career, and I do remember that there were some guys that all of a sudden just showed dramatic jumps in speed or, you know, just they looked different. And I had no idea what steroids were. And, you know, I heard guys say names of stuff, and I was just totally oblivious to it. But I think afterwards, when you can kind of look back at it, you definitely notice some instances where you kind of believe some guys may have gotten that unfair advantage.
Let me take you to your seasons with the Cardinals and when you won the World Series. Take me through that year. What made it so special, and why were the Cardinals able to win the World Series that year? Because a lot of people didn't think that they would.
The Cardinals that year, man, we got hot right at the right time. There was nothing else that you could really say. We kind of got into the playoffs in the last few days, but the team was getting healthy. The team was getting better going into the playoffs. And sometimes just getting into the playoffs makes all the difference in the world. And we had a lot of guys that I think depended on each other, and we realized that whoever was going to have the job, it would get done. It was just that type of accountability on the team. You know, we had good leaders like Jim Edmonds there, and they brought a level of accountability to everyone there, and I just think it made the whole team function.
You know, Tony La Russa has been a good friend of mine for a long period of time. He's now retired and one of the winningest managers ever to manage in baseball. And I'm just wondering, when you think back about the way he managed that team, what made him so successful for such a long period of time?
He had the unique ability to put guys in situations where they had a better chance to succeed. Whether it was through all the research he did, and the man put in tireless hours just trying to prepare our ball club for every game. That could have been a product of that. But he found a way to put guys in situations where they could succeed. And some managers can do that, some don't.
I know when I talked to him one time, he said he always broke down the season into three parts, and that was the first part, and then also the second part was what the teams did after the trading deadline, and finally the third part was the postseason. Which was he best at, in your mind?
I don't think he had a weak point. you're talking about a man who – dots every I, crosses every T, and if one is missing, he's going to beat himself up over it. And it kind of goes back to the accountability, where he took pride in knowing everything there was to know about not only his team, but the teams that we were playing against. And I've never seen that level of preparation anywhere else in the game.
You know that the players do play for that championship ring. I've had a lot of players who have never won championship rings say that they would give up every individual statistic just to be able to have that ring. So when you look at it, what is it that goes through your mind, Preston?
The records are going to be broken. At some point, most records are going to fall. But whenever you get a chance to say that you were world champion, that can't go away. That's in the books. That's history. So that's never going away, and I think that's one thing that a lot of guys feel like would cap their careers, to say that they were on the best team and contributed to the best team in the best league there is.
Is there a particular moment during that championship season that's kind of crystallized in your mind that Preston Wilson will never forget?
I spent my whole career pretty much being an RBI guy, power hitter. But I took a lot of pride in learning how to bunt, and I got a chance to get down a sack bunt in the World Series, and I got the bunt down, and the run eventually scored. So, for someone who probably hadn't bunted all that much in his career, to have to get a sack button down the World Series, and I did, and run scored. I was pretty proud of that.
Particularly when you're a power guy and you love to hit that long ball, all of a sudden to drop something down that only goes 45 feet.
Yeah, you have to learn to put your ego in the bat rack when that comes around.
Let me switch gears in just a second. You're involved with the Metropolitan Junior Baseball League. Tell me a little bit about that organization and what they try to do.
Well, it's an interesting organization, and they're really trying to just spread knowledge and just showcase a lot of players who have the ability to play that may not be able to get seen. I feel fortunate that I was able to kind of get started into it this year. My dad has been in it. Mike Eastler, Gary Sheffield, those guys have been kind of the driving force for the past few years. In some ways it's going to be kind of learning for me, because I'm actually going to get to learn the people involved in the organization. I'm going to get to learn, all the projects that they're trying to do and to get the word out and to showcase some of these guys.
As well as I do, there's been a major challenge recently to get African-American kids involved with baseball. Joe Morgan and I had a very long conversation about this, and I said to him, Joe, what's the problem here? And he said, the mentality of kids has changed today. They're always looking for, what can they get almost immediately. How do you view the situation as far as kids, African-American kids, wanting to play baseball?
I think, number one, when you have a lot of families who may not have the income to be able to do the things that they want to do educationally wise, you can't get a full ride to play baseball. You can't get a full scholarship to play baseball. I don't think there's any way, you look around and that just isn't a common thing to get a full ride to play baseball. Whereas in basketball, you can get a full scholarship to play basketball. You can get a full scholarship to play football. And football players are seen and in commercials and all of that. There aren't really very many baseball players, and you have to have something that you kind of pattern yourself after. And if these kids don't see any black athletes in any positive situations playing baseball, they're going to kind of shy away from it. It's kind of one of those things. Some kids grow up wanting to be firefighters, and they find someone in their neighborhood that they can kind of emulate. Well, if a kid can't see himself doing something, they're going to shy away from it.
Do you also think that there's the thought process that they know that if they play football or they play basketball, that the next step after college is right into the pros and you're making big money? Whereas if you're playing baseball, you have to go down into the minor leagues and ply your trade down there for a couple of years, and maybe you'll make it, maybe you won't. And so they see that as meaning football and basketball as a better path to being able to get something financially.
That could be part of it. I look and I see also that these kids, basketball and football players, they're treated like celebrities in high school and in college. Because those are the quote-unquote revenue-producing sports. So baseball isn't considered that. So there's a lot less attention that goes to baseball players when they're in high school or when they're in college.
How big was baseball for you when you were young?
Baseball was big. I actually grew up watching baseball. I didn't grow up playing baseball. I grew up watching baseball. But fortunately, I was able to watch the best people in the world do it. So when I did decide to play, my first year on the team was my freshman year of high school. I had already absorbed a lot of the things that those guys were doing.
In about 30 seconds, when you look at the great players of the sport of baseball, what is it that they consistently do, Preston?
They're not afraid to succeed. There's something that goes along with players who are willing to give that effort every day to be expected to be as good as they can be. Some players don't like it. Some players kind of shy away from it. But the great players, they want that responsibility, and they want people to want them to have to be good.
Well, Preston, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and your feelings about your fine career, a fine 10-year career that resulted in a World Series championship ring with the Cardinals. Take care and come back anytime on Sports Byline.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Preston Wilson with us. He played 10 years in the majors, started out with the Mets, then moved on to the Marlins, the Rockies, the Nationals, the Astros, and finished up his 10-year career with the St. Louis Cardinals, where he picked up that World Series championship ring. And as I pointed out at the beginning of the interview, a very strong comment about what it takes to be able to play professional sports, and particularly professional baseball, where it's a very long, tedious season, a grinding type of season. He said, my body just couldn't take it anymore. But he does walk away from the game with a World Series championship ring. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.